Exploded. Simon had wondered whether it was psychologically significant that an Irish Catholic girl had turned out a lesbian after her entire family was blown to pieces the first time she'd touched a penis. George and Sabrina had been saved by their rampaging hormones. Simon found that oddly romantic. But then Simon found a lot of things odd. Harriet, on the other hand, had fancied a whiskey with her dessert. When the waiter offered her a choice of what she called cheap, dirty water, she had barged out of the hotel and across the road to the off-license for a bottle of Lagavulin. She had barely put her purse away when the fireball burst, shattering both the window of the shop and her newly purchased bottle. It took a protracted letter-writing campaign, but Harriet had eventually managed to make the chain's head office accept that, while she had paid for the bottle, having not yet picked it up, she had not, in fact, taken ownership of it, and that, as such, they were obliged to send her a replacement. They eventually sent her a case, just to make her stop. Harriet had been saved by her refusal to drink cheap whiskey and her determination not to go without it, or, as she liked to describe it, by her high standards and a steadfast refusal to compromise. Simon had stayed home to watch Friends. He didn't like crowds. In the end, it had turned out to be a flashback episode, so he almost wished he'd gone, just for the hell of it. Until the police arrived. He sometimes wondered whether the officers had stood outside debating how to break the news to him. "Son, we've got good news and bad news. The good news is Christmas will be cheap this year." Fortunately for Simon, his mother's brief resuscitation in the ambulance had made her officially the last to die, helpfully leaving him as the main heir to most of the wills, including his inexplicably wealthy Uncle Marvin. Thus, Simon hadn't had to work a day since. He largely survived on interest from the stupidly large sum of money in his account. And if he ever ran a little low, he only needed to sell one of the hideous artifacts Marvin had collected throughout his archaeological career. Whenever Simon's father had discussed his brother, there was always a proliferation of implied quotation marks left dangling in the air. George, Sabrina, and Harriet were the only people Simon had any sort of normal contact with, and it was mainly to ensure the safe passage of regular payments he had promised them all after the explosion. It only seemed fair that with only four of them left, he should share the wealth. Without the need to earn money, Sabrina had opted for life as a poet. Harriet had retired a few years before the explosion, so only George had decided on a traditional career, as a lawyer. He had once tried to explain to Simon that he just couldn't accept not earning his own keep, even if his salary was effectively just a top-up on the significant monthly allowance Simon paid him. Simon couldn't understand why anyone would choose an office over the comfort of their own living room. But there were a lot of things about people that Simon didn't understand. He was probably closest to understanding Harriet. His great-aunt had a unique vision of the world. She imagined herself much like Jimmy Stewart in her favourite movie, Harvey, bumbling around the screen effortlessly while chaos cavorted around him. In reality, she bumbled around chaotically while the world occasionally stopped to scratch its head in bemusement. Sometimes it got a black eye for its trouble. Of all the people in the world Simon almost liked, he almost liked Harriet the most. Simon kept the necessity for anyone other than himself to be in the house to an absolute minimum. Food shopping had initially been a problem. To begin with, he had paid a local child to get some groceries for him once a week. He would use the same child for a few years at a time, until they became curious beyond his tolerance. When Tesco announced home shopping over the internet, Simon threw himself a small party with a bag of 50 mini sausage rolls and a bottle of Dr. Pepper. Then he bought a computer. By phone. During these 13 years, Simon had become something of a mythical figure amongst his neighbours. Nicknamed Herman, after Herman's Hermits, they saw him as a comical, disgruntled little gnome. Rumours spread that he had a rare skin disease, which prevented him from coming out into the sunlight.